This episode of The Takeaway is supported by Stitcher Smart Radio. Now podcast listeners can access the latest episodes of The Takeaway and PRI's other programs while on the go without downloading or syncing with Stitcher Smart Radio. Thousands of popular podcasts and programs are available on demand. Stitcher instantly delivers new episodes of your favorite shows to your mobile phone, remember, without syncing or downloading. Stitcher Smart Radio can be found in the iPhone or Android app stores or at stitcher.com/takeaway.
In 2002, the U.S. saw Iraq mainly as its enemy. After the invasion of 2003, Iraq was America's responsibility. Now the president says we have an equal partnership based on mutual respect. When the U.S. leaves Iraq, does our special relationship end too? It's Monday, October 24th, and this is The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Celeste. It's countdown to Halloween, right? 1 week to go.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. But countdown to the end of the year as well, when the American troops at least will leave Iraq. It's a war that cost billions of dollars, hundreds of billions. More than 4,400 American troops gave their lives there. But the president says all the troops will come home, and the only nation the U.S. will be building is our own. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but you are still talking about Libya.
This is Chris from Veneta, Oklahoma. All I'm hearing on the radio today is how Muammar Gaddafi was an evil, bad person, but I don't see it that way. You know, Muammar Gaddafi took Libya into the 21st century. Before he was in power, they didn't even have enough literate people to create a functional government.
We love your various and diverse views. Give us yours at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We begin with the top stories in the headlines now. The death toll after a 7.2 magnitude earthquake in eastern Turkey has risen to more than 200. Many more are still missing. Rescue workers are trying to free victims trapped under the rubble of collapsed buildings. These two survivors in the city of Van hope that their missing relatives would be found alive.
It's difficult to describe the moment when the earthquake struck. I felt the Adana earthquake as well, but this was much stronger. There was a lot of shaking. I have relatives here and I'm waiting for them. I pray to God they'll come out alive and well.
At 1:43 in the afternoon, we felt a huge tremor and immediately fled the building. It was pretty jolting. We have a friend who lives on the first floor of this building. We're hoping our friend has survived. We're in despair.
The pictures are pretty grim there in eastern Turkey. Tens of thousands of people are left homeless from the collapsed buildings and the aftermath of the quake. European Union leaders met yesterday, projecting urgency and some consensus as hopes diminished last week over resolving Greece's debt crisis. But the head of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, thought there was progress.
We've done some good work today, really. It's real progress, and I think that positions everyone in well for Wednesday. More work to do, but heading in the right direction.
Markets are guardedly reacting positively this morning, but pressure for an agreement will continue until the next Eurozone meeting on Wednesday.
More than 90% of those registered cast their vote in Tunisia's election. The vote is to elect an assembly and write a new constitution. The moderate Islamist party is expected to win. An observer in the capital city of Tunis, Dr. John Hardman from the Carter Center, said he's pleased with what he saw.
What we've seen here in Tunis, things have gone very well. We've been very pleased with the process.
That's the first free vote in the Arab world since uprisings began in the spring.
In Libya, the plan is for elections in about 8 months. The head of the UN mission in Libya, Ian Martin, told our partner the BBC that the shape of Libya's new government is a Libyan concern.
Libyans will be debating their constitutional framework, including the place of Sharia within it. But that's not a matter for the United Nations to be concerned about. That's a matter for Libyans to make their choices in a democratic way.
Meanwhile, questions persist about how Muammar Gaddafi died and when his body will be buried. The U.S. Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction says a program to train Iraqi police could be an open-ended waste of taxpayers' money. So far, the program has cost $8 billion.
It's all tied up now. The Texas Rangers beat the St. Louis Cardinals 4-0 last night. That means it is two games each in this year's World Series. In the markets, Asian markets are up. European indices are mixed. Futures are up, though. The Dow starts at 11,809. The S&P at 1,238. The Nasdaq at 2,637. Coming up, President Obama, of course, announced that all U.S. troops will come home from Iraq by the end of the year. We're going to talk with a veteran of the Iraq War and the mother of a soldier waiting to see her son come home and maybe spend the holidays with him. And we want to get your thoughts. A listener in Colorado says at thetakeaway.org, finally an exit strategy. However, there needs to be a plan to help reconnect them to civilian life with real mental health care services to deal with the trauma. What do you think? 8778, my take.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.